Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, well, I'm going to bring on Pastor Kent.
Okay, here we go. Back again.
Hello. Well,
hey, how you doing?
I'm good. I have this to say. Happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear pastor. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you very much. Thank you, thank you. All right.
So, did you enjoy your supper?
Happy birthday, everybody, if you did not know. Okay, I turned the ripe old age of 61. And,
yes, you turned 61.
Birthday,
but
the Golden Corral, and it was quite tasty.
Oh, so you didn't have steak and eggs?
No. I actually had steak. Yeah, that was part of the thing. The Golden Corral served steak. But I had chicken, and I had mashed potatoes. I had baked beans. I had macaroni and cheese. And then, of course, to top off the dessert, I had some ice cream.
What kind? You've got to tell me what kind. Can't leave me in suspense there.
Yeah. All righty. Well, Pastor Ken, are you ready to give your message tonight?
Well, sure. Always ready for a message. We're going to talk about where is your heart? So I wasn't sure if I was preaching tonight or if you were, so I didn't prepare anything, but I always have messages prepared, so that's okay. So tonight the message is, where is your heart? Where does your heart lie? So where does our heart lie? Where is our love? Where is our heart? Where is our focus? What is our focus? In life. So, love is a word that describes an emotion with a vastly different degrees of intensity. We can say we love ice cream. Gee, that's unique how I said that. Gee, I wonder who had ice cream today and chocolate. And we can pledge our love to our husband or our wife until our dying breath. Love is one of the most powerful emotions. We can experience human craving love from the moment of existence. And the Bible tells us that God is love. For Christian believers, love is a true test of a genuine faith. Four unique forms of love are found in the Bible. They are communicated through four Greek words, enos, strange, phalae, and of course, agape. We will explore these different types of love, characteristics, by romantic love, family love, brotherly love, and God's divine love as we do. We discover what love really means and how to follow Jesus' commandment to love one another. Well, if you turn with me in the Bible to the most important verse that I think is in the Bible about love, is in Matthew. And it's just after the Sermon on the Mount. And we all have had that in our lives. It's in Matthew, I believe it's chapter 22. As I said, I wasn't quite prepared to preach tonight, so you have to bear with me. Yes, Matthew 22, verses 34 to 37. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees and the Pharisees, they got together. And one of them, an expert in the law, this is the law of the Bible, not the law of the land, tested him with this question. Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the Bible and in the law? Jesus probably didn't pause very much. It says in the Bible here that he replied, which means instantly he came up with this. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. This is the first and greatest commandment. Now this shows right here, if you look at Exodus chapter 20, you will find the first five commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And it goes on down the list to remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Well, most of us today celebrate that day on Sunday, which is not really correct according to the Jewish and biblical calendar. It's actually Saturday. And Ken can obviously verify that, can't you, Ken?
Yes, it's actually Friday night at sundown to Saturday at sundown.
Yes. And the second is like unto it, which is to love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. See, this is very important why we're looking at this. Now, the love I have for Pastor Ken and those that follow me is brotherly love, which is phileo love or phileo love, whichever way you want to pronounce it. And that means that I love you all as brothers and sisters in Christ. Strange love is mostly set for our family, our mothers, our fathers, our brothers, our sisters, our blood brothers, our blood family. That's what strange love refers to, is that family bond that can never be broken. That's what it's referring to. Then we have the ugly love, which is eros love, which is lustful love. You see a girl, you see a guy, and you, like, your tongue hangs to the floor, and you sit there, and you froth at the mouth, and you're like, oh, and you start thinking rotten thoughts about that person. And you start committing fornication and adultery in your mind. That's lustful love. That's eros love. That is not a correct way to love. Now, when a couple gets together, a lot of them usually have phileo or strange love, which is a very deep, devoted, caring, compassionate love that nothing can interfere with. The love that it's talking about when it says love your neighbor as yourself, many of us don't understand what that means. So I'm going to put this in a paragraph so you can understand it. If you walk by I can't think of another word right now, but anyway, if you walk by a street beggar or a bum on the street and they ask you for money and you're able to help them and you don't help them, you're basically saying you're not important. So you're saying they're not your neighbor, but this is not what that is saying. Anybody that you pass in life, whether it's on an elevator, whether it's at work, whether it's friendship, or whether it's people that you just met, you have to love them as yourself. All the laws and prophets hang on these two commandments. And we discussed the other day about agape love. And agape love is the most purest and most genuine love that you can ever find. Where do we find an example of that? In the Bible. You say, look at Jesus. Did he love everybody? Yes. Did he love them so much he was willing to die for them? Yes. Now, agape love in human form, we can understand, but we can't comprehend what that is. Because the only way we can understand that is through the love of God. And through the love of God, we can learn to have agape love for our brothers and sisters and for those that are around us and those that have wronged us and those that have crossed us and those that have upset us. Agape love transcends and erases all of that. You don't look at a person as what they've done or judge them on age, race, creed, or color. You judge them on their spirit. That's the easiest way to explain agape love. What do you say, Pastor?
Yeah, I mean, I was just thinking, you know, the agape love, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son.
Yes. Yes, that's a perfect example of that. And this is why I say, could you, as a parent, allow your son to die for a total stranger? Most parents would reply, no. Because we have a selfish love for our children and our brothers and sisters. Would I want somebody to take upon them my sins and take my punishment? No. I'm man enough to stand up and have balls enough to sit there and take my own punishment. But see, Jesus did not see it that way. You see, in the Old Testament, I don't remember them all, but there's certain things that you have to sacrifice for certain sins. But the greatest sin that you have to sacrifice for is a lamb sacrifice. And that lamb sacrifice, when Jesus died on the cross, that ended. There is no more sacrificial lamb. All we need to do is bend a knee, ask forgiveness, ask him to come into our hearts, and allow him to be able to show us what true, honest, unwavering, unexpectational love is, which is agape love. Now, if you're not a Christian and you have listened to this show for a while and you have questions about different situations or different things, you could very easily get those answers from the Bible. But in order to read the Bible, you need to have a relationship with our Lord and Savior. Now, that's a very simple prayer. It's a very simple prayer. And if you bow your head, if you believe Romans 3:23, which says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, it doesn't matter how rich, how wise, how famous you are, you're a sinner, unless you have Christ in your heart. But it's a very simple fix. It's a very simple thing to do. Just bow your head with me and say these words. Father, forgive me for my sins, as I forgive those who have sinned against me. Lead me to your cross. Wash me in your blood. I believe you died on the cross to save my soul and re-edify my entry into heaven. I ask right now for your forgiveness and for you to come into my heart. Take my life as I lay it down, as you laid yours down for me. Brothers and sisters, if you said that prayer and you're simply wondering and pondering what to do, all you need to do is call the number 657-383-1487. And if you'd like to come on and share what you've done, and That's actually your next step. And then Pastor Ken and I will guide you through your next steps. Admit publicly that you have accepted him. Because if we don't admit publicly that we have accepted him, he will deny us to his Father in heaven. It's a very important thing to make a public admission for your sin. Thank you for listening to my blabble. And thank you for listening to the message.
I enjoyed it very much.
Well, I always try to tell what God puts in my heart. And when you said you wanted a message, I'm like, he wants you to teach about love. And I'm like, okay, as you wish.
I don't know where Pastor Bill is and Pastor Leroy is today. I don't know why they haven't decided to join us. I'm trying to figure out what's going on with them.
Well, Pastor Leroy was on the show last night. And I usually have a worship service before I start the message, and he probably got busy and had to go, so it's okay. You know, but it is what it is. But actually, Mike was on last night, and that was nice to hear his voice finally. He actually called in, and I would love it if you called in to talk to myself or Ken. And you can call in at 657-383-1487. Press 1 to come live on air with the panel, and we will help you if we can.
Let's see. Well, hopefully we can get DC2. Okay, to call in. Okay,
that'd be nice. I'm on Discord, and I don't see him there. Says he's offline, so.
He's in the Tony Talk room. He's in the Tony Talk room. Okay, you probably don't get that room.
No. And I won't go in that room. no thanks.
It's quite a room.
Yes. Yes. So, on the one I have, I see Mike, DJ Hooker, and, of course, Tommy. You know, they're in there. Call in, guys.
Yeah,
come on
okay.
in and join the fun.
Well, we got a caller. 111. Let's take it and see who it is.
Happy birthday, Ken. This is Mike.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, Mike.
Hi, Ken, and hi, Kent. Just wanted to call in for a minute here and wish you a happy birthday and say hello to Kent. And so you guys went out to eat. Did you have a good meal?
Yeah, we went to Golden Corral.
Oh, okay. Good. Yeah, it sounded like you had plenty to eat.
Yeah, there was plenty there to eat.
That's good. That's good. Well, I just wanted to give you a little quick birthday message. You know, doing this show is important because you're really able to get your message out to lots of people. You've touched many people's hearts. You know, you give lots of guidance. Kent does too. You've touched Doug and helped him overcome a terrible alcohol addiction, and that's big time. You've touched Farrar and made him a better person. There's no doubt about that. There's lots of people in your life who you've touched. And the fact that you help people means you love your neighbor like you love yourself, as Kent was saying. You've touched so many people and made a big difference in their lives, and you're a great person because you helped so many of us. So I just want to say God bless you and happy birthday, and I felt like you deserved to hear that today.
Well, thank you, Mike. I appreciate that very, very much.
Yeah, and, you know, I was talking to Kent yesterday, and I told him I went to a football game with my son and a couple buddies. My and I'll keep this story clean, but my one buddy, he started dating a flight attendant. He was on the plane. He started flirting with a gal that serves drinks. Anyways, dating this flight attendant. And he said, and I'll keep it clean here, they were getting ready. They've been dating a while, so they were going to be intimate for the first time. And he said she's always the same way, like when she was on the plane, like she's talking like she's talking to people on the plane. And he said they were getting ready to be intimate. And she said, okay, cell phones off, and the back door will remain closed. And, you know, and she had the outfit on and everything. So he's telling me about this broad that he met on the plane. I guess they had a good time, but, you know, it's, you know, he dates a lot of gals, but I guess he's pretty into her. But, yeah, so he's, I'll tell you, these buddies of mine, I'm glad I'm settled down, but I'll tell you, my buddies have some wild times. It's fun to hear their stories. But anyhow, I won't go on and on. Happy birthday, and did you have any other callers?
No, nobody's pressed one key yet. I do have one caller, but they haven't pressed one key yet. So until they do,
oh,
I can't bring them on.
All right. Well, I had a couple other stories, but they're not really radio friendly, I guess you could say. So I'll keep those to myself. But anyhow, I hope you have a good evening. Thank you for doing a show, and I hope we get some more callers here.
Amen. Yeah, man, me too. I hope
DC2
calls in.
Yeah, we'd like to hear from Donnie and the rest of the guys. So take care and thank you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, almost fell over.
Oh, wow. Well. Yeah, so hopefully we get DC2 to call in. I'm on Discord trying to get him to call in. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But he hasn't responded as of yet. All right. Well, let's go with the prophetic word for today. The Father says today, believe me for the best. When you pray, articulate to me better and best in all that you are anticipating. I am not a God of small outcomes. Why would you ask me for provisions you just barely get by? Beloved, coping prayers are not faith-filled prayers. Faith is a substance of things hoped for and barely getting by. Just barely surviving is not a legitimate hope. Ask for things that are better, better and best. That is the prayer that delights my heart and the prayer I'm disposed to answer. Make a decision this day to live a principle of highest first. I have given you all things richly to enjoy. There is nothing anemic about my promise of the word. The work of Calvary is in your life, to do a complete, full, and overabundant deliverance, not a barely getting by a weak answer to feeble prayer. So plan, God, to go first class all the way, for I am not a second class, God, in any manner. Believing for better and best, you are finally opening your thinking up to what I actually have in mind for you. And this goes out to those who need it, and you know who you are. Amen.
Amen. Yeah, it says in the Word, God will not provide our needs. Or, sorry, my bad. Freudian slip, my bad. He will not provide our wants. He won't provide us the numbers to the lottery or the winning horses or any other malarkey like that. But if we need a car, he'll provide that. If we need a job, he'll give that. If we need employment, he'll help with that. You know, you can rely on him for anything, anything in life. Because he says in the Bible, he will provide all, not some, not part, not a few, all our needs.
Yes, amen. Yes, he will supply our needs. Yes, that's all we need to believe is in God, that he will supply our needs. Okay?
Yes.
He
but
may
just
not
to
supply
interject
our
on that.
Wants, but
yeah.
Our needs, he will.
No, he won't. Yes. Just to interject on that, if you sit on a couch and play video games and watch TV, it's not going to help you with that. But if you get up and put out resumes and get up and do things, he will help you with that. You know? He will heal us if we ask him. God answers two different ways. Yes, no, and later. Because it's not his time. No? Case in point is my sister and Ken. You know, Ken, by the grace of God, has whipped cancer's butt a few times. You know, and that's all by the grace of God. Ken has enough people praying for him that he doesn't have to worry about it because he has a whole prayer chain going. You know, here's a story for you. There was a missionary. He was in Africa. And he got a little disheartened, and he started to pray. And he was a little bit down, and he asked God to help him. Well, he did help him. At the very same time, at home, the prayer group got together because they felt the need to get together. Well, they all got together. There was seven of them. They all got together and they started to pray. Now, they didn't know why. They didn't understand why. They didn't ask why. They just went and started praying. And as they prayed, this missionary felt better and felt safer. Years later, when he came home, or when he, sorry, not years later, a few days later, he was out. And he heard about these people that were trying to rob him. And in Africa and war-torn countries, this happens a lot to missionaries, that they take them and mob them and mug them and take their stuff. Well, he heard that there was a group of pirates that were going to rob him. And as they went to come in on his campfire that he was sitting at, they saw seven angels surrounding him. And they ran because they were scared. They didn't know what that was. Years later, when he came home, he was telling them about this time he almost got mugged. And the deacons and the elders thought, wait a minute, when was that? And it just so happened that when they got the call to pray, that's when this was happening. Is that not amazing?
Yes, it is. Well, we got some more callers here. Let's take them and see what we got. 111. That was terrible.
Troll.
Let's find out.
Yeah, that was a troll.
Birthday, blowjob, birthday.
Yeah, that's a troll.
Yeah, but I think we got Pastor Veal here. Is this Pastor Veal?
This is Pastor Veal. How is everybody?
How you doing, Pastor Veal?
Oh, I'm doing phenomenal, Pastor Kent and Pastor Ken. I'm so happy to be calling in to the show on this day, Saturday, October 15th, 2022. God's Rainbow Ministries. Happy to be here.
Yep, today's my birthday.
Oh, it's your birthday?
Yes.
Well, happy birthday. I hope some callers call in and sing happy birthday to Pastor Ken. You deserve it.
Thank you.
You know,
yeah.
I want to go to
Corral for my birthday today.
Oh, that's awesome. Golden Corral. You know you could get a veteran's discount at Golden Corral on Veterans Day, and you could also get a veteran's discount at Longhorn Steakhouse on Veterans Day. Both of those places give veterans discounts. I learned this by talking to the person that Kent knows very well now. I've talked about him on his show. The individual I'm trying to lead to God, his name is Clay Douglas. He stops by those places on Veterans Day every year. He's a Vietnam-era veteran, and he gets the free meals, and he enjoys them.
Yeah, I get a free meal at Golden Corral, too. Yeah, for Veterans Day.
That's awesome to hear. That is so great to hear. But anyways, what is the show topic today? I apologize for not calling in earlier.
Pastor Kent, you had the topic. What was the actual topic?
What is true love?
What is true love? That's right.
Well, we discussed that on Kent's last show, and there's a, you know, I've thought about this, and agape to me is true love. I talked a little bit about that in Kent's show, but I just want to tell a quick story here about true love, you know, about my wife and about how I met her and, you know, how my dad met his wife. And as I've told many times in the past, my dad, he worked in the Coast Guard in California. And if you didn't know, there's this thing called a breacher's buoy. So basically, back in the day, these ships would get stranded on bluffs. They'd hit the rocks, and they wouldn't be able to move, right? And so the way to save these people on the West Coast especially was to shoot out a breacher's buoy, and they would climb on the breacher's buoy back up the shore from the stranded ship. So my dad was in charge of shooting the ropes out to these ships, and he did that for essentially until it became outdated technology. And my mom was on one of these ships, right, that got stranded on the coast of California, and my dad was there, and out of the goodness of his heart, the kindness of his heart, he shot a rope out to her. And she grabbed onto that rope, thank God, and got to shore. And, you know, I use that metaphor all the time in my church about the Coast Guard, because I support our troops in the Coast Guard, A and B. I just think, you know, God is shooting us ropes all the time. It's up to us to grab them in any way, shape, or form. You know, God shot a rope to me, and my wife came along. Things like that. So, you know, that's a form of agape, I think, too.
Yeah.
You know, do we have any callers?
Yeah, well, we did, but then we got one. Hold on. 111, you're on the air. Hello?
111, you're on the air.
Hey, hello, Global Washington. I had the phone on the mute. I got the iPhone 14 Max Pro, and I forgot how to use it. Hello.
There you go.
Oh, Grover.
Well, listen,
so, Grover, what's on your mind today?
Well, I was calling. First of all, I want to say happy 69th birthday to Pastor Ken there.
69 years young.
Yeah, 69 years young. Ken, I was wondering, in honor of your birthday, Could I possibly come by and get a ceremonial blowjob in R-Dash Lane?
No.
You still got that door.
Hey, what, you can always come by and give me one.
I would never do that. I'm not one of the gays, but listen, in honor of your birthday, I'll just come on by. You still got that door on the side of your house with the hole in it, right?
No. Don't have that.
Right, a penis. It's a penis hole.
Ken,
what
do
we have on
another
door? Caller here? Area code 720. Is that you, Paulie?
Yeah, Ken. How you doing, man?
All right. How you doing, Paulie?
Oh, good. Just wanted to call and say happy birthday, dude.
Thank you.
And, yeah, man. Yeah, how old are you now? 69?
No, I'm 61.
You're 61? Oh. Yeah, I was about to say, you don't sound 69, but... All right, man, I just want to wish you a happy birthday.
Take well, thank you, buddy.
You too, Pastor Kent. I mean, Big Tex.
God bless you, Paulie.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, I think Madeline may be calling in.
Who's Madeline?
I don't know. Kent could tell you. Kent, can you put me on mute, though?
Yeah, sure. I'll put you on mute, Paulie. Okay. Paulie, right. On mute. All right.
Ken, I got a question. Pastor Ken.
Yeah, what's up, Grover?
I heard somebody talking about agape love. I thought that was called escape love.
No, Grover, it's called agape love. Come on, Grover.
A-S-S-G-A-P-E, escape. That's where you split the chicks apart and you show the inside of the asshole. Hello, did I get disconnected?
No. I don't think you did, but it's spelled A-G-A-P-E to be exact, Grover. That's what we're talking about. We're not talking about anal sex. This is a godly show. Keep it clean, Grover.
What about the ass gape?
We aren't talking about any anal cavities either. I apologize if you called in and got the wrong impression, but this is a godly show. We talk about godly things on here.
I'm sorry, I got to go. There's a small five-year-old child here that thinks it's Halloween. I got to give her some candy. I got to go. Goodbye.
Goodbye,
okay, Grover.
Goodbye, Grover.
I don't know why you don't hang up on him immediately.
I don't know either.
That caller sure is something. Yeah, I just want to remind callers that this isn't Pony Talk. We don't get to say dirty, disgusting things on air. I know Kent... Pastor Kent, if he's still there, shares the same sentiment. Is that right, Kent?
Yeah, of course. No?
Yes, it is spelled agape, A-G-A-P-E. Not whatever Grover was saying, ladies and gentlemen in the chat. This is a godly show. Godly show. Amen.
Yeah. Yeah, well, Grover can't help it. Yeah, you gotta bless him, you know. Yeah, he needs help.
Amen. All right, Kent, do we have any, I just realized I'm on with Ken, and Pastor Kent is co-hosting. Pastor Ken, do we have any more callers?
Yeah, I'm gonna play. Let's play some music here. I'm gonna play some music. Let's just see if I think. What should I play?
Something 80s, something Diana Ross, something very disco.
Rivers of Babylon.
Ooh, I used to dance to that late night at the clubs.
Yeah, play Rivers of Babylon. Ken. That's a good song.
I'm gonna see if I can bring on my music playlist. Okay,
I could play it, Ken.
You can play it?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead, play it.
Here, let me play it for you. It'll be through my speakers. It'll be very good, I promise. This is an Airbnb ad? Okay. Wow, what a great song.
Yeah, good song.
I love that song. So we have somebody in here, Tool Zero, saying, so this is a show for gay Christians? Well, I'm not gay, but some other people here are. I don't want a free to add. God, I hate YouTube. Well, I'm not gay, but other people in here are, such as for our 699. This show is for everybody, though. It's for black, white, gay, Jewish, Ken Topper, Pastor Beal, Pastor Ken, those who shop at Kroger, those who prefer to shop at, like, Safeway, which now is owned by Kroger, apparently. But it's ran by gay men except for myself, and I don't really run it. I'm just sort of here. Anyways, Kent, is Kent still there?
No, Kent hung up. His wife was calling him.
Ah. You know, I learned a lot about Kent on the last show of Father's House. And did you know that Kent, out of the goodness of his heart, you know, went to a woman in time of dire need? She had just lost her cat, and he had been messaging her on Facebook. And, you know, they became close confidants over this death of the cat. And he moved out to Hamilton, Ontario, just for her. And just so he could be there to support this cat, I think, in its dying days, is what he told me. What a great guy.
Yeah. Wow. Unbelievable. Well, I'm trying to think here.
I think you should take my calls.
Yeah. Well, I was hoping we could get DC2 to call in to tonight's show. But
let
for some
me
reason...
Let me ping Donnie Baby. Let me ping him. He might be busy with hitting the sides or something. I just pinged his Discord account. We'll see if he comes. But anyways, we had a... What's that?
I don't know. Y'all were talking about learning a lot about Pastor Kent at his last show. I listened to his last show, and I learned something about him, too. He doesn't like women. He thinks women are beneath him and should not have any sort of power over men.
Well, what made you think that?
Well, he was talking about it from, I don't know what passage it was he read out of the Bible yesterday, about a woman should not have power over a man, because he was bitching about being pulled over by a police officer who happened to be female. And he was saying that he doesn't believe... It was on yesterday's show, or maybe it was the day before. No, I think it was yesterday's. It was the day that he did a show about what's your favorite Bible passage.
Yeah,
he got pulled
over. His favorite Bible passage had something to do with women never being above men. Well, no, because that was on that show, because the show the day before, when he had his sister on, that's the day he said his wife was stupid.
Not stupid.
He said she was very unintelligent.
He did say that, and I do remember that. But he seems like a person who really loves women, Tony Farrar. I don't know. Like, you know,
he obviously likes women if they're dumb and he has power over them.
I don't know. Maybe we need Kent on here to discuss that.
I don't know. I'm just going by what he said on his show. That's all every time I talk to him and I bring these things up, he has a hissy fit and hangs up. So,
yeah,
I don't know.
I heard you got into it. I heard you got into it about his prison story or something like that. What happened there?
Well, nothing. He just keeps telling people he's an ex-con and he's an ex-con. Well, if you've never been to prison, you can't be an ex-con. Going to city jail for a month or so does not make you a convict.
No.
That is special.
It makes you part of the... Well, I mean, city jail is part of the...
No. The city jail is run by the city. They have people in there for traffic tickets and stuff like that, minor offenses. you know, but no. If you do not go to prison, you cannot be an ex-con.
What?
Now, Kent did give me good advice. He did give me good advice. My son was doing prison ministry, and he was asked to suitcase things into the prison. Now, see, I didn't know what that meant. And Kent explained to me that it's when you stick, like, something up your anal cavity and you pop it out when you're in, like, solitary or something like that, and oftentimes it's drugs. And my son
thought, I know half a dozen movies and half a dozen shows. In fact, Oz on HBO has discussed that. I mean, you don't have to go to prison to know these things.
Yeah, no, but I didn't know that. See, Tony, I'm totally dumb when it comes to the prison system. I didn't know that. But you're completely right. Kent did call his wife stupid on the last show I was on, but I don't think he meant anything by it. I really don't.
I hope not.
Well, I mean, when you say somebody's ignorant, I mean, how can you not mean something by it? Ken, you're ignorant. How can you call somebody ignorant and not mean something by it? I mean, come on. Really?
Well, I don't know. Anyway. Yeah, I can't believe I turned 61, guys. I turned 61 today.
Who died?
No one died. I said, I can't believe I turned 61 today.
Yeah, I know. That's incredible.
Yeah. Another year gone by.
Let's have some more callers. I want to hear from more people about wishing you happy birthday and everything.
Well, I hope there is more callers. Let's check and see. Okay, let's see if there's any more callers.
Coco Vega still looks good.
Who?
Coco Vega.
Let's see, we got a caller from 111.
Coco Vega.
111.
Hi. This is Ashley. I don't even know why you answer 111 calls.
This is
Ashley.
That's Ashley.
You gotta pick them all up. Okay? Because because GC2 calls on 111, okay? So.
That was Ashley, though, Ken.
Yeah, I know.
You should have kept her on.
Oh, we got another 111 caller.
Trick or treat, smell my feet, give me something good to eat. Trick or treat, smell my feet, give me something good to eat. Trick or treat.
Who's this?
Hey. I have no clue.
I'd like to talk to Mike Hunt. Can Mike Hunt call in? I want to talk to you, buddy.
Yeah, Mike called. Unmute yourself, Mike.
Hey, what's up, Pastor Veal?
It's good. How are you? Everything is perfectly good in my neighborhood. And, I patched, man, my voice is not working today. Perhaps it's because I've had two Hoegaardens. I patched things up with Pastor Kent after our little debacle over the Ronald individual who called into the last show. Or one of his shows, three shows ago, perhaps.
Wonderful. Was that Ronnie?
Yeah, Ronnie, not Ronald. Ronald, whatever. Some drug addict called into the show,
And he was he made Kent very angry. It was not a good call. There was fellatio on air. Sex acts and dirty, disgusting things like that that don't belong on a Christian show. And Kent thought I thought it was funny. And I didn't. I was disgusted. I was beside myself. I just could not understand why such a drug addict would call into the show. And he tried to fire me. I thought I was fired from Father's House for about a full 24 hours. And then he brought me on the next show and everything seemed okay. And Leroy was on and I was on and we had a lawyer, a divorce attorney call in and, you know, we discussed a lot of things and it was a good show. And then he did one yesterday and I didn't know about it because I was out and about, but anyways.
Yeah. You know, I was talking to Kent yesterday, I think it was yesterday. And I let him know that, you know, he was wanting to have us call in and say what our favorite Bible verse was. And I kind of shared my opinion on it. It had something to do with women. I had been pulled over by a female cop in Timothy 12:2, and basically saying that women are beneath men and should not speak unless spoken to. I can't remember the exact quote, but he went on and he pretty much agreed with me. He had his own version and shared with us, but one thing that I'm concerned with about Kent, and I know he's not here right now, so I won't go into it very much, but he did say that his wife, and I couldn't believe he said this, he said, my wife is pushy, my wife is not intelligent, my wife is not a clean woman. I can quote him on that. He did say that. And I was thinking to myself, oh boy, if she heard him say that, he would be in big trouble. I don't think Ken would say that about Farrar. He might get a frying pan upside the head if he did. But, yeah, I think that Kent has to be careful what he says on air. What do you think about that, Pastor Veal?
Oh, well, I have to leave very soon because I have to pick up somebody in need from a bar, actually, unfortunately. But here's what I think about that. I don't know if Kent Hopper is a misogynist. I think he's a very traditional man. I don't think he's ever been involved in a relationship with another man. I don't think he's ever done any wild, crazy, deviant acts upon another woman. What's the word that I'm looking for? I think he's very vanilla, you know? I think he's your average run-of-the-mill pastor guy who hasn't really lived that crazy of a life outside of the crimes he has said he committed, right? So I think he has a more traditional aspect on women, much like many other things in the Bible he has traditional mindsets towards. You know, I'm from a progressive church. We do lots of things differently from Pastor Kent. But, you know, if he doesn't like women, that's his prerogative. But I don't think it's true.
Okay. Hey, I just wanted to quickly comment that Farrar is saying that he's 45 years old. I don't think any of the people in the chat room or listeners are going to believe that he's 45 years old. We're going to need to see some ID if that's what he's actually claiming. He's got to be at least, what, early to mid-50s. Let's get some more comments in the chat. I don't know how old Farrar is. He's saying he's 45. I don't know. I'd like to see what some of the other viewers here think. Might be a good guessing game. The other thing with Farrar I would like to get an answer on is was he given a hard time to Kent, that Kent didn't go to prison, he only went to jail. Was Farrar in prison? Or did he just go to jail? I'm trying to figure that out. Ken, do you know?
I believe he meant to say that he just went to jail. Okay? Because Kent admitted that he's never been in the actual prison. He's been in the city jail.
Okay. But what about Farrar? Has Farrar been to prison?
Yeah, Farrar went to prison back in the 80s.
Oh. Okay. Well, that's interesting. Maybe he'll have to come on one of these days and maybe share a couple of stories that are radio-friendly. He doesn't have to get into the gory details, but, you know, maybe he can share a little bit of his life experience, and maybe some of the listeners won't make the same mistakes that he made. And I know you're open and honest about your experiences with us. So, yeah, maybe he can share. But, yeah, if we got more people in the chat room that can guess what Farrar's real age is, that would be wonderful. I think I'm going to put guess in.
What difference does it make how old I am?
Well, because I heard before that you
were 16.
What difference does it make if
I've been to prison? I've had if y'all are that interested, yes, I have had that Oz experience.
Wow.
And it's not for what Ashley's always telling. I mean, Jenna's in there in the chat room saying that I went to prison for spreading HIV and giving people diseases. No, that is not true.
Okay.
So,
well, was the sex consensual and also protected, or were you, not careful in there? Were you promiscuous?
In prison?
Yeah, I didn't give Kent a hard time.
I didn't have sex. No, I didn't give. I gave Kent a hard time for saying that he was an ex-con. He's never been to prison, so he can't be an ex-con. Let's get this very straight. You are taking this someplace completely out, you know, wanting to know if I had protected sex in prison. I didn't have sex in prison.
All right,
hello.
Well, let's hear what the chat room thinks.
Was the chat room holding my balls up while I got laid? Were they my pillow, my blanket?
What does the chat room really know? The chat room knows that you lied about your age. You said you were 45. Now you're saying you're 54. I think you're 60.
And I'm saying, what difference does it matter how old I am?
It doesn't. I just don't think you were being truthful initially. But it seems like you're wanting to tell the truth now, and I appreciate that.
I am eternal. My life is infinite.
Oh, boy.
I was born many years before my actual date of coming into this earth. I've lived more than once on many zones and in many time zones. So at this proper time, it doesn't matter how old I am.
You're very argumentative. My question is, when you were in prison, if you were argumentative like you are a lot of the times, did the guards have to manhandle you and subdue you to keep you submissive and behaving?
Of course not.
No, you never had any bad incidents that you can share with the chat room?
Nope, not at all. Didn't get shanked, didn't get none of that. Went, did my time, got out, and it was over and done with.
And I didn't give
Kent a hard time about anything except for the fact that he said he's an ex-con, and he's not an ex-con.
Okay, but he does say that he was he beat people up for a living, and he's some kind of a tough guy. He used to be a tough guy. Do you buy into that story?
I don't know the man well enough, so I don't know what he did as a youth or what organizations he was involved with, who he may have beaten up or anything. I only know what I know about him from his shows, and from what I can wrangle about him from his shows is he obviously does not like women. He's very defensive, and if he was in a gang and he was an enforcer, I wonder if he was as whiny then as he is now. And if he got his feelings hurt as badly now and as quickly now as he did then. Because if he got his feelings hurt the same way he does now, I can't see him being an enforcer. I'd see the victim going, boo, and he'd run.
That's a good point. Now, if you shared a jail cell with Dr. Kent Hopper and he tried to pin you with a wrestling move and manhandle you, do you think he could beat you up?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, because, you know, like I said, he used to beat people up for a living. Maybe he could wrestle you down, have his way with you. Or when people tried that, did you put up a pretty good fight? Sounds like you handled yourself pretty good in
I didn't have to put up a fight because nobody tried that.
Oh, well, that's good. That's good. Okay, on to the next question. Did you bake Kenny a birthday cake for his birthday?
No, I did not.
Oh man, that I'm disappointed with that. Next question. Tomorrow,
really?
When the Dallas Cowboys.
Wait a minute. You're disappointed with the fact that I didn't bake a cake for a diabetic?
There's other. But you know the point. You could have done something nice for him.
Kenny doesn't like sugar-free cake or sugar-free frosting. He won't eat it.
Okay, well, the point being is, are you doing nice stuff for him today?
Because well,
it's his birthday, or are you being pushy and trying to dictate all the terms today? Did you give him what he
really,
wanted,
food? Do you honestly think that I dictate and run the world?
Well,
you make Kenny sound like he's this little whoop submissive sitting in a corner. The man is an ex-biker, so
okay,
you know if you want if I was pushy and overbearing and stuff. Being an ex-biker, you would think, well, maybe he likes it like that.
I don't think so, because from what I've heard, and we can again ask the chat room, you have been accused of being controlling many times. I mean, come on, let's be honest here.
Let's be honest this way. In every marriage, in every male-female relationship, in every male-male relationship, there is an alpha. Sometimes it's the woman, sometimes it's the man. It just depends. But one partner is going to be more controlling than the other. It's the amount of control that is where you go. Some people like to be controlled. Some people like to be told what to do. They like things run for them because they just don't want to do it themselves. It's easier to let somebody else do it. Now, if you're in a position where you're being beat into submission, where you're strong-willed and somebody just beats you into a corner until they're overpowering and overbearing, this is a completely other situation. For this, you should contact an abuse hotline because there's problems in your relationship. But since Ken and I have been together going on 20 years now, I really don't think Ken has a problem with the way I act. And we dated for a year before we even got together. So he had a whole year to learn my quirks and everything else. And he still chose to ask me to be with him. So, does that answer your question?
Okay. Well, yeah, I think you're answering some questions, but, I mean, I know there's a lot more of these prison stories that you can get on here and share with people, which is a good thing, so that they don't follow your path.
There's nothing to share. And if you don't want to follow my path, don't break the law. You don't break the law, you don't go to jail. You don't go to jail, you don't go to prison. Follow that path.
But
follow the righteous path and obey the law.
I think myself and the chat room have a couple of questions that we'd like to ask you. Number one, did you ever take anything in your prison pocket? Tell us about that. When they smuggle the stuff in, you know? You had to have heard some of these stories or done it yourself. Have you ever...
Why would I have to do it myself? Do you think I want to be sticking things up my rectum? Do you think this is things that normal people do? No, do you think this is a normal conversation? You are asking me if I have ever stuck things up my butt to smuggle them in somewhere. Have you ever stuck anything in your butt to smuggle it anywhere?
It's a legitimate question because you're a drug user.
It's a legitimate question, then answer me. If it's that legitimate, answer me. Have you ever stuck anything up your butt to hide it?
No, but Joe Gibson has.
Okay, then.
Then maybe
you should be asking Joe Gibson what it's like.
My next question is, did you ever, pay off prison guards to look the other way so that you could bring in dresses and makeup and whatever?
Do you really think they let you wear dresses and makeup in the Texas Department of Corrections? You must be high.
Well,
it's not like on TV. The prisoners aren't running around in dresses with eyeliner and eyes. Stop it. Stop.
Okay.
No, you cannot honestly believe that. I actually thought I was having a conversation with somebody with some intelligence. Come on.
All right, let's just – one last thing. Let's go back to the fact that because you're controlling, did you go into the cafeteria in the prison and dictate exactly what the menu should be and put your foot down and demand what you wanted to eat?
Just like Big Red from Orange is the New Black.
I'm not familiar with that, but
go online, Google it, look it up.
All right,
Google it, look it up, watch a few episodes. Orange is the New Black.
If we can get a couple more guys to call in, if you'll stay on the line, maybe they have a couple questions for you that you could answer. That would be fantastic. Other than that,
you mean more
happy
you mean
birthday,
more
Ken.
Okay, we got
I'm
one
gonna,
caller from 111. Let me bring
him
on.
Yeah, I'm
going to
go on mute. Thanks, guys.
111. You're on
the
air.
Hey, I'm missing my banjo. I was wondering if you keys to it.
Hang
you
up.
You put it up your butthole
hang
and
up.
Put my raccoon
hang
up your asshole.
Hang up. Hang up. Hang up on this ignorant motherfucker. Hang up.
Well, okay, I guess this is going to bring this show to an end.
Oh, my God, no, not an end.
I'm going to say God bless you.
God bless you all.
And, oh, wait, we got another caller, 111. Let's take it, 111.
I miss my banjo. He's up your butthole.
Hang up on this ignorant motherfucker. Hang up on him. I wish COVID would take him.
Well, God bless you, Grover. Anyway, I'm going to say God bless everybody, and I'll see you tomorrow at 5 p.m. Central Standard Time.
You won't see me, but I'll be listening.
Bye-bye, y'all.
Had fun with y'all. Bye.